Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Thursday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at RocketMortgageSquares.com. The NFL playoffs continue this weekend with the divisional round of the postseason. And the Los Angeles Rams are moving on after their victory in Seattle last week, which must have been super sweet, knowing that they are divisional foes with the Seahawks and that defense came to play. And Jared Goff, with an injured thumb, ended up doing enough to also lead the Rams into the next round of the playoffs. A member of the Los Angeles Rams Ring of Honor, a seven-time Pro Bowl defensive end. He's a member of the all-decade team of the NFL of the 1970s, and simply put, one of the toughest SOBs that ever played. Joining us, Jack Youngblood this morning. Jack, good morning. How are you?
Better than we deserve, brother. Better than we deserve.
It is great to have you finally on the show. I've been looking forward to this since I heard that you were booked on the show, and having the Rams back in the playoffs, fun for LA, fun for somebody like yourself. I'm sure Aaron Donald is just amazing. He's going to play this upcoming weekend. When you first got into the league, you played behind Deacon Jones, so you've seen one of the best ever to do it. How would you compare Aaron Donald to some of the best ever?
He can play on my team anytime he wants to. I mean, there's no question that that young man has got talent, and he's got an instinct about where that football is, and he goes and gets it. That's the difference in what he does and what some of these other players do today. He reminds me a lot of Merlin Olsen,
yeah,
and Larry Brooks. I mean, he plays on their side of the ball. I can't talk about that more so than what it's really about, and he's not 100% this week, but he will make a difference in that front four.
You appreciate guys that play hurt. Goff did that at quarterback. It's tough. He didn't have a lot of zip on the football last week, but he got the job done. What'd you think about Goff's performance in that spot?
You know, he's performed tremendously this year. He started out hot, and then they kind of backed off. They didn't have as many yards in the last part of the season, the second half. But yeah, he's a tough young man, and I like what he can chunk the thing down the road.
They get to play at Lambeau Field, so Los Angeles at Lambeau and Green Bay. What are your memories of playing at Lambeau during your time in the NFL?
You know, D.A., I never played there.
Really?
No, we went to Milwaukee.
Oh, County Stadium.
Yeah, we went to Milwaukee twice, and you know, we missed something. I mean, that's a unique stadium, and it would have been fun to go there.
Yeah, Jack Youngblood is our guest this morning on the show. Tell me about Deacon Jones. I just want you to tell a story. I just want you to tell us about what it was like to come in as a rookie and to be on the same defensive line as him and to learn from him, because he's one of the greats ever and one of the biggest characters in NFL history.
With a capital C. Yes. When I got there, I was fortunate enough that Deke and Merlin both were like big brothers to me. And someplace, you know, during that first year, Deacon came up and put his arms around me, and he said, "Son, you can play, but you got to let me teach you how to play." And I said, "I'm all ears." Trust me, I'm all ears. You know, and unfortunately, he tore something in his foot about the fifth or sixth ball game in that year, and then I had to fill those shoes. And you talking about country come to town, I was scared to death, because Merlin would have killed me if I hadn't taken care of, you know, if I hadn't done my job. But Deacon was one of a kind, and I love that guy.
You were a first-round pick at 71, so you didn't have any kind of young brashness to feel like, you know what, I got this thing figured out. I don't need to be taught anything by the old guys. You were immediately receptive to being taught things by those guys?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, playing in the SEC back in the 60s, you know, we didn't go across the Mississippi very much. And when I got drafted, and then they had a rookie camp, that was my first time, you know, in L.A. I didn't know who in the world L.A. was.
Really?
Who the Rams were, because we didn't get them on TV. Of course, there wasn't but three channels back then, but but we but yeah, I was literally country come to town. I didn't know what in the world, you know, was in front of me. In fact, quick story here. As we're starting to land, coming into L.A., you know, there's a long glide path there, and I'm thinking to myself, it come to me. I went, I wonder what number I'm going to get. You know, I wonder what it, because I was 74 in Gainesville, in the Gators. And as I walk into the locker room, that first moment, when I walked through the door, there was a jersey hanging on the first locker, and it was number 74, Olson. I went, well, I guess I'm not going to get that. I guess that's out the door.
So you got 85, and it ends up being retired.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate. I've been blessed with, you know, the capability of playing and those who I played with. I had some tremendous players, and I appreciated every one of them.
It's interesting. You say country come to town. So you were a small town guy. You played in Gainesville. You didn't know much about L.A., and yet you end up having an entire career, and you are a standout 7-time Pro Bowler, all-decade team player in Los Angeles. And so this is the swinging 70s. You guys are in the playoffs almost every year. You end up in the Super Bowl after the 79 season. So celebrity had been around you. Was that a difficult transition for you to make over the course of that decade, or did you end up figuring that out pretty well?
Well, you know, I was fortunate to have a lot of good people around me, to be honest. and show me the good and the bad and the evil that you can get into in LA. But it was that's the issue was that I had tremendous people around me. It wasn't so much what I figured out, you know, it was what those guys, you know, gave me a little something of themselves.
You guys had slammed your helmets against some great teams of the 70s of the NFC, the Cowboys, the Vikings. Year after year, you're trying to make it through, and you're falling just short. And in 79, it all comes together. You guys get through the NFC, get to a Super Bowl. It is played in Los Angeles, an amazing story. Before we get into your injury, what was it just like to finally get through what had always been the bugaboo for you guys in the 70s, the playoffs?
Yeah. You know, we had been in that situation of being in the championship game and in the divisional games year in and year out. You know, the first two were ugly. First 2 years I was there was ugly with Pro Throw's team. But we came out of that when we got Chuck Knox. And so we were used to doing it. The funny thing, you know, I had that broken leg and I was the captain of the team, and I was determined that I was going to play and try to help my football team win this ball game. We're standing in the tunnel, and the cheerleaders used to line up in front of us, and you know, right before the national anthem. And they're introducing us, and the cheerleaders, the first one right in front of me, all of a sudden she fainted. She just fell over.
Really?
And I'm looking around, and everybody's going, "Oh my goodness gracious!" And I look at Ray Malavasi, our coach, and he goes, "Get out of here." We got a game to play.
Move her to the side.
Yeah, we got a game to play. We can't fool around with this girl.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, you know, famously, you played with a fractured left fibula. It is widely considered one of the toughest, gutsiest performances in sports history. You play a Super Bowl that way. And I'm just wondering, you were always known for playing through pain. Did you have a higher threshold for pain, or did you just have a bigger want that other players might not have had because you just can't play football in a fractured left fibula?
Yeah. I did have a way of controlling the pain aspect. For some reason, When we're not in the middle of a play, it would go away. If I'm getting ready to play, put my hand on the ground, it turned off the pain level, and then when the play's over, now it comes back, and I don't know whether that's just mental or physical or what it was, but it was it allowed me to be the captain of my football team and trying to help those, you know, my guys, you know, win the ball game.
Did you feel like you had to do that because it was a Super Bowl and because you were the captain?
I didn't have to, but I wanted to. Hmm. I wasn't about to go, you know, 16 games and then miss the big one. I wasn't about to do that. I was going to try to play and be a part of the defense.
You also played in the Pro Bowl, and that is unheard of.
Well, I didn't play much.
But you still suited up and went on the field with a broken leg.
Well, I told him. The coach came up to me. He said, "What are you doing here?" I told him. I said, "You know, I've been all season long. I've been playing. I'm not about to miss this party."
That is amazing. You were a Pro Football Hall of Fame inductee in 2001, a College Football Hall of Famer as well, and you're working on behalf of a very cool company that has consistently kind of tried to put former players in positions of success after their careers are over, gridirongreats.org and Pork Rind Appreciation Day. And so tell us about your work with this company and what it has meant to you.
You know, Mike Duke is you know, he's known as a real tough guy, you know, and barking at people and all that, but that's not really Mike's heart. He tries to help retired players that have injuries which cause issues with your finances. I mean, in today's world, you don't go to the hospital and it's a free ride. It's very expensive and can be, you know, it can be obliterating, to be honest. And Mike does a tremendous job with that. And we're doing this thing with Southern Recipe and Pork Rind Appreciation Day, you know, in the Super Bowl, and it's a great communication between us. We're seeing some really good stuff happen when the need is there.
That's fantastic. Gridiron Greats is a wonderful assistance fund for former great NFL players. Gridirongreats.org is a place that you can go to learn more. And it's Pork Rind Appreciation Day. And, you know, you can always enjoy Southern Batch Pork Rinds, which is a great company. We've had them sent to us at the studio. I've had them. They're delicious. So it's very, very cool. And you can follow them on Twitter and at Instagram and at Facebook, Southern Recipe Small Batch, at Southern Recipe Small Batch. It is really, really cool. I know you got to run. I could do this for so much longer here, Jack, but it is so cool to catch up with you. Thanks so much, and hopefully we can do this again. This was awesome.
Anytime, DA.
Appreciate you. Thanks so much. Jack Youngblood has been called the perfect defensive end by Merlin Olsen, have been called one of the toughest opponents that he'd ever had to face by Dan Dierdorf. These are Hall of Famers and all-time greats saying this guy was the best. Jack Youngblood, one of the best pass rushers ever, Pro Football Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, and the ultimate tough guy. Mraz, I mean, we go down to Super Bowl Radio Row and get to talk to some of these guys in person, and there are just some guys that shine. Is Jack Youngblood not the type of guy that just you could sit there and listen to tell stories forever?
That was such a smooth listen. That got my juices flowing for old-time football. I'm tingling, and really, I feel bad for Jack Youngblood. Imagine playing your entire career in the NFC with the Rams and you don't find your way onto Lambeau Field because you happen to play in the era where they're basically playing at Fulton County Stadium.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
Brutal.
How do you not take one trip to Lambeau in your career?
Brutal. He played for, I think, 11 or 12 seasons, and he said that they went to Green Bay twice, or they went to play at the Packers twice, and they were both played at Milwaukee County Stadium in the era where they split up the home games between Lambeau and Milwaukee. Just terrible. You got to get him at Lambeau.
Come on.
How about freaking playing in the Pro Bowl with a broken leg? Oh, I didn't play much. You still played.
Right. What do you think Jack Youngblood would think of playing dodgeball before the Pro Bowl?
Incredible. That was awesome. If you want to catch that in its entirety, if you missed some of that or want to hear it again or send it along to somebody, we'll have that posted at cbssportsradio.com and also, of course, in our podcast feed. Just search The DA Show, subscribe, rate, and review. When we come back here on the show, another awesome interview. Jamal Charles will join us to talk about the Chiefs coming up in the divisional round. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
The DA Show is here every single morning on the hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Also on Sirius XM channel 206. And you can also listen to us on your phone. Check us out using CBS Sports' app, the radio.com app, or you could tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Coming up, Jamal Charles, dynamic four-time Pro Bowl running back, is going to join us here on the show. We'll talk about the Chiefs' road to the Super Bowl as this upcoming weekend they'll take on the Cleveland Browns at Arrowhead Stadium. But before we do that, we've got Andrew Bogish, who has our latest details of the James Harden mega deal. Mr. Bogues, where do we begin?
DA, it is all sponsored by Progressive Insurance. You could save big when you bundle your auto, home, motorcycle, RV, or boat. Visit Progressive.com. We'll get to Harden in just a second. First is Urban Meyer, who is now almost back on a football sideline. He and the Jaguars said to be meeting again today to possibly finalize their union. And Bill O'Brien is almost back as well. He is reportedly finalizing a deal to be Alabama's offensive coordinator. His last employer, the Texans, have asked for permission to interview Rams D coordinator Brandon Staley for their head coaching job. But like with Eric Bieniemy, they're doing this late. So now they have to wait until the Rams season is over, which could be Saturday at Lambeau. Aaron Donald said yesterday his ribs are fine. He'll be out there. But wideout Cooper Kupp yet to practice this week with a sore knee. Now, thanks to that James Harden trade, which is now official, by the way, plus Kyrie's absence and injuries, the Nets only had 9 players last night at the Garden. They still beat the Knicks 116-109 with Kevin Durant scoring 26. An inconclusive COVID test kept Zion out last night, his Pelicans losing to the Clippers 111-106. The Lakers are 7-for-7 on the road after a 128-99 W in OKC. The Bucks won in Detroit 110-101, and the Mavs won in Charlotte 104-93. Kristaps Porzingis, 16 points in his season debut following October knee surgery.
I've been working a lot, just coming back from the injury. So, you know, it's always a good feeling once you actually get there and you get those minutes on the court. So I'm happy about that, happy about the win. Looking forward to the next game already and keep working and keep getting better.
Luka Doncic chipped in with 34 points, 13 boards, and 9 assists last night. 2 more NBA games postponed because of COVID. Both were tomorrow. The Wizards can't play the Pistons. The Suns cannot host the Warriors. College Hoops, number 4, Texas, a loser at home.
6-5, McClung for the win. Got it! 3-pointer good with 2.2 seconds left. Not necessarily for the win, but return of the Mac.
All right.
That was Jeff Haxton.
I was hoping you were going to play this. This was a big shot last night in College Hoops. Everybody was talking about it.
Yeah, and I was saving it for the last one of the morning. That, again, was Jeff Haxton on Learfield IMG College. The shot eventually changed to a 2. So the Red Raiders won 79-77 in Austin. Number 16, Louisville, a 77-65 win at Wake Forest. Number 21, Ohio State, beat Northwestern 81-71. And on opening night in the NHL, the Lightning took care of Chicago 5-1 after celebrating their Stanley Cup title. The Blues beat the Avalanche 5-1 and Vancouver a 5-3 W in Edmonton. DA, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. We are waiting on Jamal Charles to join us here on the show. Jamal was a phenomenal back in the early 2010s and went to 4 different Pro Bowls and played for Andy Reid with the Chiefs. So we will talk to Jamal Charles about the Chiefs' road to the Super Bowl coming up here on the show in just a little bit. You can hit me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. Again, DA on CBS. We've been talking a lot about this James Harden deal and what it means for both sides. I think for the Houston Rockets, it was an unavoidable truth. And that was there was no way to fix what was happening with James Harden. And it means that they were just left in the lurch. There's no other way around it. They did not get fair value for a 3-time scoring champion and an NBA MVP in his prime. He's 31 years old. No matter how many draft picks you get, it doesn't really matter because you've got to find James Harden again. And remember, the Rockets didn't draft James Harden. He was already a commodity when they signed him to the big free agent deal after he left Oklahoma City. The Thunder found him. Now, we didn't know what he could ultimately became, and they bet right on that, but still, you've got to find the next guy, and who knows how long that takes. So it's a tough situation for the Rockets, who now have a post-prime John Wall, a combustible DeMarcus Cousins after significant injuries, and a Victor Oladipo, who is also a guy who is coming off of an injury. So it's not a good situation for the Rockets, but there really was no other alternative for them. I think for the Nets, look, it is a massive risk. I understand why they did it. I don't like that they did it. I didn't like the deal. And a big reason I don't like the deal is because you have three very temperamental players. There is no rock solid consistent, I know what I get here because I trust him. I trust his mind. I trust his commitment. I trust his leadership. You don't have any of that with these three guys. So each one is a bit of a three-legged stool. Each one of them has the potential to tip over. Kevin Durant, we have never seen him as the alpha male win a championship. We saw when he was with other alphas that had built a perfect scenario in Golden State, we saw him rise to the occasion, and he was brilliant in those two NBA finals. But it was a ready-made situation. He was not that guy in Oklahoma City. We have also seen him lash out at critics. We've seen him act like a child earlier in the season with the NBA on TNT crew. We know that Kevin Durant does not react well or respond well when all eyes, all attention, and all responsibility is on him. We see Kyrie Irving, that goes without saying, completely untrustworthy in a leadership position, and how you need to depend on him, completely untrustworthy right now. And James Harden, say what we want about his basketball, really effective basketball player, but from a personal standpoint, the guy took a dive. He had no ethics about competing or quitting for his employer or his team or his teammates. And he might hate the owner of the Rockets. He might absolutely despise him. He might hate the culture there. He might just want out. But John Wall didn't create that culture. DeMarcus Cousins didn't create that culture. Those players aren't responsible for your hatred of the organization. And you quit on them as well. And you did everything that you could to sink their season as well. And that takes a certain level of pride that you just flushed down the toilet. So that part of it, I got a hard time really getting behind James Harden on. Now, guys, let me know when we have Jamal Charles on the horn, because then we'll go to him, and it sounds like we have Jamal there. Jamal was a four-time Pro Bowl running back in the NFL, played some dynamic seasons for the Kansas City Chiefs, and of course the Chiefs are back in the playoffs after the bye, and will take on the Browns. Jamal Charles joining us here on the show. Jamal, good morning. How you doing?
Great. How about you?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks so much for joining us. I know it's not your sport, but I'd like to know, do you have a take on the James Harden trade?
I think he gave up too much for him, but, I mean, he's a dynamic player that anybody can have on his team. I mean, they got James Harden to win now, so, I mean, no excuses. They got him, so hope they win the championship.
What do you think about him showing up out of shape and kind of quitting on his team? Was that a bad look for him?
I just think he gave up on that organization, and he wanted to move on, and he didn't care no more. He just wanted to move on, and it's hard to be able to be around somebody like that. They just give up on him, basically give up on a team and an organization. But just to show up out of shape, I mean, you can't do that at all, just being a professional athlete.
Yeah. Jamal Charles had 5 1,000-yard seasons for the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Chiefs are back in the playoffs as a Super Bowl defending champion. Tell me about when Andy Reid took over and you were there. You had played under Herm Edwards and Todd Haley, and then Reid took over. What was your first sense of Andy Reid becoming head coach?
I don't know. I mean, the experience in having Todd Haley and Herman, I never able to get a coach that been successful like that when Coach Reid got there. So I didn't know how to think when he's coming in. I didn't know how this would be. Would it be he would be just like the other guys that came in and told that he wasn't nothing like those guys. He changed the organization around. Now he's been there almost to like every playoff since, I think since he missed two playoffs or one playoff since I left there. And he's been to the Super Bowl, the semifinals. Like, the guy, I mean, I never expected him to do this when going through the franchise like this.
What was it like to watch the Chiefs win the Super Bowl last year?
It was exciting. I was able to be there and experience that. I dreamed on, wish I could win for them. But I mean, I was more excited for them in the organization to able to get that over the hurdle and win a Super Bowl, a second Super Bowl.
Jamal Charles joins us this morning on the show, four-time Pro Bowl running back for the Kansas City Chiefs, also played for the Broncos and the Jaguars as well. Let me ask you about the Texan situation, because one of the guys that you played against who was an all-time great in your era, Andre Johnson, just tweeted out that he doesn't trust that organization for Deshaun Watson, that Deshaun Watson should speak out about it, and that what's going on within the Houston Texans organization is pathetic. What'd you think about Andre Johnson? Because you know he's not a guy that just takes shots. He's a very quiet, cool cucumber, but what does that say about the Texans?
He's been in the organization, though. Andre Johnson has been on the staff before, so, I mean, you know, the insides of the organization. He's been there for a long time. He played for that team. And I think him talking like that, I mean, it's something on his chest, on his heart that something is going on. He don't normally talk at all. He's quiet. I mean, I know the guy personally. He don't really say much. I mean, when a guy don't really say much and speak out, I mean, you want to hear what he say and want to see if it's true. So, I mean, it's hard to saying that the organization have been to the playoffs. They have been to the playoffs, back-to-back playoffs before. They just missed out this year. But, I mean, it's hard to say what's really wrong with the organization.
Do you feel like the Texans are wasting Deshaun Watson?
Depends on if they get it wrong. Like, they hire the GM and they hire the wrong GM and they hire the wrong head coach. Yes, I definitely feel like they're wasting Deshaun Watson time.
How does something like that work where, you know, a team looks at this front office and just doesn't trust them? I mean, does that happen because they see the wrong players brought in, or players like DeAndre Hopkins traded? Do they look at the personality of a guy like a front office member like Jack Easterby? When do players lose faith in somebody at the top?
Just bringing in the organization, the approach of how they come in and how they not able to set the team up for success. Bringing in the wrong players, bringing in the wrong guys to contribute, and the guys that get there that brought in still haven't contributed to the team for being successful. And that's when a lot of guys start looking at the organization, like, what are y'all doing? Because spans of being in the NFL is not that long for players to able to win now and win championships. So they to be successful and to win now, you got to bring in the right players that want to win the Super Bowl. And it's hard to do that with organizations that don't bring in the right players.
As you said, being a friend of Andre Johnson and knowing him, it takes a lot for Andre Johnson to speak out, right? It takes a lot for him to want to vent, to get something off of his chest.
Yeah, I feel like he don't want to see nothing bad with organization. He want Austin to set the team that he wants the team to get. He wants them to be want them to go to the Super Bowl. I don't think he's speaking bad on the team that he don't want them to be successful. I think he's speaking up because he sees something that's wrong and something that's on his heart that, if they get this wrong, they're going to wait to show and watch them out.
Yeah. Jamal Charles joining us this morning on the show, four-time Pro Bowl running back, and he's working on behalf of Crown Royal as well. And if you're enjoying some Crown Royal this weekend with your NFL playoff games, he's reminding everybody to take a water break. So tell us about the Crown Royal message today, Jamal.
Yeah, Crown Royal believe being a Royal fan this season, stay safe and generally support your community and drink responsibly while rooting on your team. This how Crown Royal your game day. So just stay hydrated and drink safely, and don't ruin game day for your friends.
Don't ruin game day by being the annoying drunk guy, right? Take the water break.
Yeah.
Jamal Charles and Crown Royal working together this postseason. Jamal, cool to catch up with you, man. Thanks so much. Enjoy this weekend's playoff
Thank
games.
You for having me on.
You got it. My pleasure. It. Jamal Charles, former Kansas City Chiefs running back, as the Chiefs will take on the Browns this weekend of the AFC Divisional Round playoff game at Arrowhead. When we come back, advanced analytics on the trade between the Rockets and the Nets for James Harden, and your epic fail. Was the Mafia involved? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
No one knows what analytics is. They think it's like a bunch of nerds doing math, which I don't know, maybe that's what it is.
It's time now for the Mothership's Advanced Analytics.
We asked you guys today, will this end up being a win for the Brooklyn Nets? Will they win an NBA championship with James Harden? Not a lot of faith. 88% of you said, no, it's going to blow up. Only 86%, rather. Only 14% of you said, yes, great move. This will work out for the Nets. Only 14%. So very few of you have faith in this deal. According to Front Office Sports, James Harden has acquired a 5% stake in the Houston Dynamo of the MLS. Awkward. Now he's a member of the Brooklyn Nets. He's going to have to look into investing in the Red Bulls or NYCFC. Mraz, let me read you a little snippet from a piece of the New York Times, which is a letter of recommendation from an author, Sam Anderson, called I Recommend Eating Chips. This is about eating a bag of chips.
Okay.
And this kind of like experience through space and time. Quote, for me, a bag of chips is a way to defeat time. It brings temporary infinity, a feeling that it will never end. A chip, a chip, a chip, another chip. The chips come like ocean waves, like human breaths, serial but unique, each part of a huge eternal rhythm, but also its own precious discovery. Do you feel like when you open up a bag, he's eating Cool Ranch Doritos when he writes this, do you feel like eating a bag of chips is a way to defeat time?
In many ways it is. That is really beautiful and true. And he is right. Every chip is unique in its own way, but it comes as a wave. And there was that discussion about me putting too many in my mouth at once. And I think it is. I think when you sit down and you open up that bag of chips, you could sit there and a half an hour has passed and you don't know how many you've eaten. And it's just something where you've munched on and your mind munches as well. That is really pretty and beautiful.
He goes on to write that he has almost finished the entire bag. And he says, the remaining chips are very small, just fragments, resplendent with flavor dust. I believe we have reached the point, though, where it would be shameful to leave only what's left. So we keep going. We must keep going. A chip, a chip, a chip. Keep going, a chip. If we stop, it will end. But if we keep going, it might last forever.
Well, I could tell you that it doesn't last forever because I've definitely reached the end and I've been disappointing in both myself and the fact that there are no chips left at the end. But that is a perfect way to describe that. I aim for similar descriptions in my football food of the week. And really, it's nice to know that the New York Times does some really good journalism out there.
I'm going to send you this link because I feel like this might be the only thing that you read for the next calendar year. But it might be worth it. It's a nice piece of writing about eating an entire bag of chips.
Hanging above your kitchen.
That doesn't sound like you're enabling me to be in the mood for chips at all when we talked about enabling. But hey, I guess so.
When I was 9 years old, I guess, I asked my dad if I could get a subscription to Sports Illustrated. And he said, yep, no question about it. Now, my dad was not an easy yes on anything. So I was kind of taken aback. I'm like, why was that so easy? I used to ask for so many things that said no forever. And I said, what happened, Dad? Like, why was that so easy? And Papa Mendo said, I don't care what you read. I just want you to read. And he just felt like if you're into it and you're willing to read, that's a good thing. So I've always thought about that with humor, as just finding what it is that might allow you to read and like it. And that's why I gave you the Jorge Posada book. And this might be it. Maybe beautiful, poetic writing about eating potato chips and Doritos might be the thing that unlocks it.
I hate to just get into something that seems to be a constant topic. There's a difference. I do like to read. I read the newspaper daily. I just don't read books. There's a huge difference there. I get through the Daily News and Newsday on a daily basis. And it's not just the pictures, though, although I do love the nice photography. I read sports stuff every day. It's just when I open up a book, I feel like it's more of a job than it is an enjoyment. So there's a difference. But I will absolutely read poems on chip crunching. What are you kidding me? That's right up my alley.
Isn't that exactly a scene that Costanza says in one of like the pilot episodes of Seinfeld? Like, yeah, I like to read. I read the New York Post every day.
It's do you have any conceivable reason for getting up in the morning? He said, I like to get the daily news.
Let's get to your epic fail. We've been talking about this James Harden deal all day long, and our first caller out of the blocks this morning at like 6:10 a.m. Eastern time went real conspiracy theory tinfoil hat on us. Here it is, your epic fail.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
What's his name? That one I'm talking about.
Kyrie Irving.
Nobody knows. Kyrie. He's had a mental problem, man. There's, nobody knows what's up. And you know what I believe, too, DA? Is that the mafia is involved in this.
Ooh. How
yes,
so?
Sir. Yes, sir. However, I'm going to switch gears now.
No. Don't switch gears. I want this theory. How is the mafia involved?
I'm telling you, it's Brooklyn, New York, right?
Uh-huh.
Oh, Megatron, he's the bad guy.
And believe me, I'm old enough to know what the hell's going on between Chicago and New York back in the day.
Yeah.
Okay, it's just my theory. No biggie.
Well, what's the theory, though? How did the mafia pull this off? How do you think they have some influence?
For God's sakes, you know how quiet they can be.
Uh-huh.
And still get them done.
Yeah, give me a break.
Okay, so you think the Brooklyn Mafia has a vested interest in the Brooklyn Nets and helped swing the trade by forcing Sean Marks to trade all those draft picks?
Oh, it could have been a nice discussion.
Okay. All right. So you think they might have intimidated Sean Marks into doing this?
And also, what's his name? Came from the...
I got a strong back and a loud mouth.
I'm losing my train of thought. That's a three-pointer. That's all he could do.
James Harden?
Listen. No, not Harden. But, He had a lot. He's got a lot of momentum. He is running. How do you coach your guys like that?
There's now, which guy are you talking about? Are you talking about Harden, Kevin Durant, or Kyrie Irving?
Kevin Durant. Thank you.
You just go against Detroit.
Mm-hmm. Listen, you don't coach that guy. And he's telling the manager and the coach, Nash, is that his name?
Yes, Steve Nash.
Listen.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Remy in Ventura, California called in the 6 o'clock hour, which was 3 o'clock his time, so distinctly possible Remy was still up after a late night of doing something. And he didn't know Kyrie Irving's name, Kevin Durant's name, or Steve Nash's name. Strong take. And blamed it on the Brooklyn Mafia. Right. Who leaned on Sean Marks to give away all those draft picks.
The mafia involved in this.
Ooh.
Who was the guy that only shoots three-pointers? I'm still lost on that.
Yeah, I don't know. Craig Hodges. I don't know who he's talking about there. No, that's who he was talking about with Kevin Durant, the guy that only shoots three-pointers, which means he's never watched a Kevin Durant game.
What a take.
Bogues, did you find the article that I just read from the New York Times about chip eating to be insightful, that it's a way to deny or to extend infinity?
Yeah, I'm going to have to read it in its entirety. I mean, it seems like a really deep thought, one I would never have while eating Doritos. But if there's a way to allow more Dorito eating because it takes you to a good place mentally or emotionally, I'm all for it.
I just sent it to you guys. You guys can read that and enjoy that. We've had a lot of people that sent us the new types of Lay's potato chips, right? Is there like Korean barbecue or something, Mraz, that I saw?
I saw Game Day Chili sent us to it.
Game Day Chili?
But this doesn't fit because this is not the time they released the new flavors. And I talked to my father and he said he didn't hear anything about new flavors. So I don't know where these are surfacing at.
We got to keep sniffing around. Got to keep sniffing. Tomorrow morning on the show, Billy White Shoes Johnson. We're doing the funky chicken aboard the mothership. So stay here tomorrow morning, Billy White Shoes Johnson, which is very cool. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan, the Wizard of Watch DA. And Andrew Bogish on your headlines. I'm DA. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.